The Loma Linda College of Evangelists, Tacoma Park, Maryland, June 1, 1909.
Mrs. E. G. White, June 1, 1909, 9:15 a.m. While attending the General Conference of 1905 at Washington, D.C., I received a letter from Burden describing a property he had found about 4 miles from Redlands. As I read his letter, I was impressed that this was one of the places I had seen in vision, and I immediately telegraphed him to secure the property without delay. Later, when I visited the property, I recognized it as one of the places I had seen nearly 2 years before in vision. How thankful I am to the Lord our God for this place. One of the chief advantages of Loma Linda is the pleasing variety of charming scenery on every side. The extensive view of valley and mountain is magnificent. But more important than magnificent scenery and beautiful buildings and spacious grounds is the close proximity of this institution to a densely populated district and the opportunity thus afforded of communicating to many, many people a knowledge of the third angel's message. We are to have clear spiritual discernment, else we shall fail of discerning the opening providences of God that are preparing the way for us to enlighten the world. With the possession of this place comes the weighty responsibility of making the work of the institution educational in character. Loma Linda is to be not only a sanitarium, but an educational center. A school is to be established here for the training of gospel medical missionary evangelists. Much is involved in this work, and it is very essential that a right beginning be made. The Lord has a special work to be done in this field. He instructed me to call on Elder and Mrs. Haskell to help us in getting properly started a work similar to that which they had carried on at Avondale. Laborers of experience have consented to unite with the forces at Loma Linda to develop the school that must be carried on there. As they go forward in faith, the Lord will go before them, preparing the way. In regard to the school, I would say, make it especially strong in the education of nurses and physicians. In medical missionary schools, many workers are to be qualified with the ability of physicians to labor as medical missionary evangelists. This training, the Lord has specified, is in harmony with the principles underlying true higher education. We hear a great deal about the higher education. The highest education is to follow in the footsteps of Christ, patterning after the example he gave when he was in the world. We cannot gain an education higher than this, for this class of training will make men laborers together with God. To have the higher education is to have a living connection with Christ. The Savior took the unlearned fishermen from their boats and their fishing nets and connected them with himself as he traveled from place to place, teaching the people and ministering to their needs. Sitting down on a rock or on some elevated place, he would gather his disciples about him and give them instruction. And before long, hundreds of people would be listening to his words. There are many men and women who suppose that they know all that is worthy knowing, when they greatly need to sit humbly at the feet of Jesus and learn of him who gave his life that he might redeem a fallen world. We apart need Christ, the one who left the royal courts, laying off his kingly robe and crown and his majesty in the heavens, and clothing himself with humanity. The Son of God came as a little babe, that he might understand the experience of humanity and know how to deal with them. He knows the wants of the children. In the days of his earthly ministry, he would not allow them to be forbidden to come to him. "Send them not away," he said to his disciples, "for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 19, verse 14. In the work of the school, maintain simplicity. No argument is so powerful as is success founded on simplicity. You may attain success in the education of students as medical missionaries without a medical school that can qualify physicians to compete with the physicians of the world. Let the students be given a practical education. The less dependent you are upon worldly methods of education, the better it will be for the students. Special instruction should be given in the art of treating the sick without the use of poisonous drugs and in harmony with the light that God has given. In the treatment of the sick, poisonous drugs need not be used. Students should come forth from the school without having sacrificed the principles of health reform or their love for God and righteousness.
The education that meets the world's standard is to be less and less valued by those who are seeking for efficiency in carrying the medical missionary work in connection with the work of the third angel's message. They are to be educated from the standpoint of conscience, and as they conscientiously and faithfully follow right methods in their treatment of the sick, these methods will come to be recognized as preferable to the method to which many have become accustomed, which demands the use of poisonous drugs. We should not at this time seek to compete with worldly medical schools. Should we do this, our chances of success would be small. We are not now prepared to carry out successfully the work of establishing large medical institutions of learning. Moreover, should we follow the world's methods of medical practice, exacting the large fees that worldly physicians demand for their services, we would work away from Christ's plan for our ministry to the sick. There should be at our sanitariums intelligent men and women who can instruct in Christ's methods of ministry. Under the instruction of competent, consecrated teachers, the youth may become partakers of the divine nature and learn how to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. I have been instructed that we should have many more women who can deal especially with the diseases of women, many more lady nurses who will treat the sick in a simple way without the use of drugs. It is not in harmony with the instruction given at Sinai that gentlemen physicians should do the work of midwives. The Bible speaks of women at childbirth being attended by women, and thus it ought always to be. Women should be educated and trained to act skillfully as midwives and physicians to their sex. This is the Lord's plan. Let us educate ladies to become intelligent in the work of treating the diseases of their sex. We ought to have a school where women can be educated by women physicians to do the best possible work in treating the diseases of women. Among us as a people, the medical work should stand at its highest. In Loma Linda, we have an advantageous center for the carrying on of various missionary enterprises. We can see that it was in the providence of God that this sanitarium was placed in the possession of our people. We should appreciate Loma Linda as a place which the Lord foresaw we should need and which He gave us. There is a very precious work to be done in connection with the interests of the sanitarium and school at Loma Linda, and this will be done when we all work to that end, moving unitedly in God's order. The Word of God is to be our lesson book. The Lord is our helper and our God. Let us look to Him to open the way for the carrying out of our plans. At Loma Linda, many can be educated to work as missionaries in the cause of health and temperance. Teachers are to be prepared for many lines of work. Schools are to be established in places where, as yet, no efforts have been made. Missionaries are to go to other states where little work has been done. The work of promulgating the principles of health reform must be accomplished. God help us as a people to be wise. I feel a deep interest that careful study shall be given to the needs of our institutions at Loma Linda, and that right moves shall be made. In the carrying forward of the work at this place, men of talent and decided spirituality are needed. The best teachers are to be employed in the educational work, men and women who will walk circumspectly, depending wholly upon the Lord.
If the teachers in medical lines will stand in their place in the fear of God, we shall see a good work done. With Christ as our educator, we may reach a high standard in the knowledge of the true science of healing. That which is of most importance is that the students be taught how to represent aright the principles of health reform. Teach them to pursue this line of study faithfully, combined with other essential lines of education. The grace of Jesus Christ will give wisdom to all who follow the Lord's plan of true education. Let the students follow closely the example of the one who purchased the human race with the costly price of his own life. Let them appeal to the Savior and depend upon him as the one who heals all manner of diseases. The Lord would have the workers make special efforts to point the sick and suffering to the great physician who made the human body.
It is well that our training schools for Christian workers should be established near to our health institutions, that the students may be educated in the principles of healthful living. Institutions that send forth workers who are able to give a reason for their faith, and who have a faith that works by love and purifies the soul, are of great value. I have clear instruction that, wherever it is possible, schools should be established near to our sanitariums, that each institution may be a help and strength to the other. He who created man has an interest in those who suffer. He has directed in the establishment of our sanitariums and in the building up of our schools close to our sanitariums, that they may become efficient mediums in training men and women for the work of ministering to suffering humanity. Let Seventh-day Adventist medical workers remember that the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Christ was the greatest physician that ever trod this sin-cursed earth. The Lord would have his people come to him for their power of healing. He will baptize them with his Holy Spirit and fit them for a service that will make them a blessing in restoring the spiritual and physical health of those who need healing. Now that I have finished reading this manuscript, I desire to say a few words regarding the cities in the south and the east and the west. The Lord God of Israel will hold the men and women who are intelligent in regard to the truth for this time accountable for those cities that are left without warning. The instruction has been given me: work the cities. Work the cities where the first and second angels' messages were proclaimed. The work of warning the cities has been kept before us for more than 20 years. But who has felt a burden for this work? Who has done real missionary work among them? We are bidden to go to those cities and preach the gospel and heal the sick. Do not expect that men will come to you and say, "If you will come and work in our cities, we will support you." You are to go into these cities and begin work in a humble way. If we had faithfully followed from the first the instruction regarding city work, means would have come in for us to establish in these places schools and small sanitariums where we could treat the sick and preach the gospel and educate the people in Bible truth. We would have had means to sustain all the enterprises for missionary work that we could carry forward. God has not left the southern field. There are precious souls there. And there are precious souls in other places that I have mentioned to you here. The Lord wants us to wake up and to take hold of seeming impossibilities. If we still do our best, if we will pray and believe and trust in the Lord, we shall see of the salvation of God. Brethren, where is your faith? Why are you not working in the difficult places? Here are missionaries from foreign countries who are trying to press into missionary fields under every discouragement. Will you not go into the cities and try to get hold of the people? May God help us to see our duty, and to do it is my prayer.